Johnson, you were hoping today to walk out of here a free person, but you're not going to walk out of this courtroom a free woman today. You're not.
26-year-old Elizabeth Johnson mouthed the words, "I know," when the judge decided her future would be another 2 years, 3 months behind bars. She was the last person to see 8-month-old Gabriel. It was the day after Christmas 2009. Elizabeth originally told Gabriel's father she killed the boy. Then she said she gave him away to a couple in Texas. To this day, we still don't know where he is. Baby Gabriel's father asked the judge to give Elizabeth the maximum sentence, 9 years. Shockingly, when Elizabeth got a chance to speak, she apologized for causing everyone pain and said she deserved the worst.
What I have done is, you know, unconscionable. What I have done is just, it's unbelievable. And it's not really anything I can say for myself because I'm sitting there and I'm seeing it all. And I would convict myself, you know, I'm watching everything and it is horrible. I don't know. So I don't know what to say to you. I see how, I do deserve the maximum I do.
Elizabeth insisted she gave the baby away to a couple in Texas, some strangers. She says she has no idea where he is.
I think that she killed the baby. I thought that she killed the baby from the start. But until we could get to the point where we are now, we wanted to do everything that we could. There was always that chance, that 1 in 100 chance that she gave the baby away.
So here's how Johnson's sentencing actually breaks down. She got nearly 2 years for unlawful imprisonment and another 3.5 years for custodial interference. That's a total of a little more than 5 years in prison. But she's already served nearly 3 years behind bars, and so she'll get credit for that time. So today, Johnson learned she will spend a little more than 2 years in prison. But here's the thing, good behavior and other factors could reduce that time.
Welcome to True Crime Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick. Good evening.
Gabriel Johnson was abducted by his mother, Elizabeth Joanne Johnson, from Tempe, Arizona, on December 18, 2009. She took him out of the state. Gabriel was last seen with his mother on December 27, 2009. Now, Gabriel's father received a series of disturbing text messages from Elizabeth that day. She stated that he would never see his son again, and that she had killed Gabriel, disposing of his body in a trash bin. Gabriel was 7 months old. Elizabeth was eventually apprehended and served time for custodial interference and unlawful imprisonment, but she has not revealed where Gabriel is, and she denies murdering him. Gabriel would be 7 years old now. His case remains unsolved. This case is infuriating and frustrating. As the one person who knows what happened to little Gabriel, selfishly and stubbornly, refuses to talk. So that's our episode today. An unfit mother, where is baby Gabriel?
Where indeed.
Let's do some 5-star reviews and then we'll have a beer and get talking.
All right, let's go.
So Can We Say Love by Ballistic Blonde in Mississippi. What a great podcast. I love listening on my commute and even at work. I love the way Jill and Dick communicate so lovingly. It adds a nice aspect to the show that you just can't get with two buds talking. Keep up the fantastic work. I foresee you guys going big places. Well, thank you. And Ballistic Blonde in Mississippi, welcome to the brewery.
Welcome. It's a beautiful review.
Love Your Voices by Carabel, 1952. I really enjoy listening to these podcasts. Your voices are calming. I appreciate how you show respect to each other. I can tell how much work you put into each episode. I get so excited when a new one comes out. I really am liking to hear a new one every day. What a nice Christmas treat. By the way, your dogs look as sweet as you two are. I'm so glad I found you. So obviously that was from Christmas time. I'm still in December reading them.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have dog pictures?
That we put on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We do that.
We do.
Thanks for the review.
Yeah. So, Carabel, welcome to the brewery.
Come on down.
And this is my favorite by BlueGirl78. TCB is my favorite. I love how Jill and Dick respect one another and the victims of the crimes they are discussing. They have a touch of sweet humor, which eases my worried mind and brings a smile to my lips. Best of all, their research is thorough and unprejudiced. And then they throw in their opinions and suspicions, a pure work of podcasting art. Whoa. So, Blue Girl, welcome to the brewery.
I didn't know we were so artistic.
That was a wonderful review. No. Well, I did know that, yeah. I knew you are anyway.
Oh,
you do artistic beer reviews. Yes. So what do we have for a beer tonight?
We have an Arizona beer.
Of course.
Because I think it took place in Arizona, although it might have been in New Mexico or Texas. We don't know for sure from this case.
No, but they're from Arizona.
But they're from Arizona.
Yes.
So I did an Arizona beer. I did a beer called Hop Dog, which is brewed by Two Brothers Tap House and Brewery in Scottsdale.
Yes, we've been there.
We've been there. And
nice.
This place is a relatively new brewery. And you and I stopped there one mid-afternoon when we were visiting Phoenix, Scottsdale area.
Yeah, when we went down for a wedding last October.
Right, and we were going to go see our daughter.
That's right.
So while we were waiting for her to get done with work, we hit up Two Brothers Tap House, and we had a few beers. Or I did, anyway.
A few, yeah. Well, I was the driver, so I think I sipped one.
I think so.
With a big glass of water.
As
and
I recall.
And a snack.
Right.
Yeah.
So Hop Dog is an American IPA. Now, American IPAs are a little different from their British counterparts. They tend to be golder or red amber in color. They tend to be more bitter with herbal and citric hops. And they tend to be fuller bodied. Now, this one, the Hop Dog, is a gold color with a nice white fluffy head and plenty of lace. It's got a citrus and pine aroma. And the taste is grapefruit, pine, and biscuit.
Biscuit?
Biscuit.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, think of those biscuits that you put gravy and stuff on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of biscuit I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I just never have heard a beer described with a biscuit taste.
Biscuit, bread.
Bread's different than biscuit. There's a
crackers.
Line there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but they're all in the same genre.
Okay, all right.
So this was a medium-bodied beer, very smooth, very easy drinking. So next time people are in Scottsdale, Arizona, stop by Two Brothers, have a beer or two, and think of our program.
Yeah, it's recommended. It's a recommended place.
It is.
Yes. So our episode, An Unfit Mother, Where is Baby Gabriel? This really annoys me, this case. This is a woman who really could go head-to-head with Casey Anthony as a real piece of crap human being.
Well, why don't you tell us what you really think here?
Okay, well, not yet. I'm being objective in the beginning, like the reviewer said, and then I'll get to my opinions later.
Okay.
So that was my objective part.
Your objective part doesn't sound terribly objective.
Okay, but I'll try.
All right.
Okay. Well, Gabriel Scott Johnson was born on May 3rd of 2009. He was born into a troubled situation. Gabriel's mother, Elizabeth, was 23 years old when Gabriel was born. She was the product of the Boston foster care system, so she lived with several different families before returning to the Scottsdale, Tempe area at the age of 12, and then she lived with her father, who was a recovering drug addict and had his own difficulties.
Well, that's a good beginning. How was she in foster care from the get-go?
Yes.
So her mother had her and gave her up.
Gave her up, or she was taken. But
okay.
She was, yeah.
And,
so
and
definitely
been,
a rough upbringing.
Yeah.
I'll give her that.
More than one foster care placement.
Absolutely, yes.
And then she ends up with how'd she end up with his father?
I don't know. I mean, he was recovering, so maybe at that point he was fit to be a father.
Was there a wife involved or a significant other? So it was this 12-year-old, almost teenager.
Yes.
Who's been through the foster care system in Massachusetts.
That's right.
And they have a bad rap anyway.
Yeah, there was a big thing about that in the Globe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
understaffed and children had just, they'd lost track of children that we have no idea what happened to the children.
Understaffed, overworked. Yeah, there's a famous case of a child who went missing and was found dead, and the foster care people, the Department of Human Services, just lost track of this kid.
Horrifying, yeah.
Isn't it?
And that was in Boston.
That was.
So I think we can agree that her childhood was probably pretty rough.
So, yeah, she gets survives the foster care system and then gets placed with this recovering father.
Yes.
Who may or may not have had any help in raising her.
Right.
Great situation.
Well, I mean, he must have had some desire to raise her and to take her, because they wouldn't go and get him and have him take her. So he must have been trying in some way, at least at some point,
I guess,
to be a parent.
Because without being a foster parent, he's not getting any funds from the state, right? I mean, he might get Medicaid and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, but he wouldn't be getting paid like a foster parent.
He wouldn't be getting paid like a foster parent, so there's no financial reward.
I wouldn't think so.
So maybe he was trying to do something for her.
He might have been.
But then that also begs the question about why it took him 12 years. Was he just so strung out from drugs that he couldn't care for her?
Well, I'm not sure.
We don't know.
We know that he was a drug addict and that her father was not able to raise her until that time, or willing. So
right. For some reason, he wasn't able to step up and take care of her
until
she was 12.
And she didn't have a mother. And there must not have been much else for extended family that would take care of her either. She wouldn't be in foster care.
She did have a mother.
Well, yes, but she didn't have a mother to care for her.
She didn't have a mother in her life, right?
Right, right.
And no other family members.
Right.
So foster care and then to dear old dad.
Yes.
That's a tough start.
It is a tough start. And then leaving across the country as well when she was 12.
That's true also.
So any connections she might have made were broken at that point.
Yep.
And also Gabriel's father, Logan McQueary, he was 25, but he had a felony record that included burglaries dating back to 2004. And actually, after Gabriel was born, his father was in jail on parole violations. So, really rocky start for this little Gabriel.
So, do we know how these two met?
Yes.
Okay.
Elizabeth met Logan at...
Sorry, I jumped ahead a little bit.
No, that's fine. That's a good question. Elizabeth met Logan at Mojave Middle School in Scottsdale. So they met when they were young.
Yeah. So, I mean, she moved out there when she was 12. She was already middle school.
More close,
at age 12.
Yeah, that's true. Sure.
That's 7th grade.
Usually.
Usually,
yeah.
Right.
Sometimes it's 6th.
And he was 2 or 3 years older than her, so.
Yeah, a couple years older.
Okay. So no. they met in middle school.
So they met when they were kids.
Little kids.
Right.
Wow.
Well, young kids. So in high school, Elizabeth was expelled from Saguaro High School in Scottsdale. Although, according to her paternal grandfather, Bob Johnson, Elizabeth was a high-achieving student, and she had a high grade point average.
Well, that might be. What'd she do to get expelled?
Well, she had behavior issues.
She did?
Yes.
And those were?
Violence, drug use,
those are
misbehaving at school.
Those are behavior issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a smart girl, although she had severe behavior issues.
It must have been. She got expelled.
Yes.
So what was she like, a sophomore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's kicked out.
So then she enrolled in a charter school in Tempe after being expelled, and then she transferred to a school in Boston for her senior year.
Okay. I'm just a little mystified. How'd she get back to Boston? I guess I know how she got back to, but what was the reason? Who was she staying in Boston?
I'm not sure who she stayed with.
Okay. So she just came back to Boston to...
To go to school.
Okay.
For her senior year.
But she must have been living with some people.
Yep. Okay. I don't know who.
All right.
But she wasn't living with her father at that point.
No, he's back in Scottsdale.
That's right.
So, well, or Tempe, wherever, someplace in Arizona.
So a lot of instability there.
Holy cow.
Moving around, yeah.
Well, even in high school, she starts the one high school in Arizona, gets booted from that for behavioral issues, then goes to a charter school for a short time.
Yeah.
And then ends up doing her senior year in Boston.
Well, she had trouble getting along with others, that we know.
Yes.
But then she met up with Logan McQueary again after high school. Logan was friends with Elizabeth's twin brother, Richard, who didn't live with her.
Okay. Where did he live? Somewhere else, other than with her.
Right.
But they knew of each other?
Yes, they knew each other.
Okay.
They moved in and out. Richard did live with the father for a while, and she did too, but it was not a stable situation.
No. I mean,
no.
It sounds to me like the recovering drug addict still had some recovering to do.
I think so. I think it's a hard thing to stay away from, and I think he had trouble. I don't think he was quite settled.
No.
No.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Now, Logan and Elizabeth, they grew closer.
So I'm sorry.
That's okay.
She's back in Arizona again.
Yes, yes.
She graduated high school?
Graduated high school.
Okay.
Went back to Arizona with her dad.
Right.
Right.
And her twin brothers there.
There. I'm not sure how long he lived with them, but.
Right.
Yep.
And she reconnected with Logan.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm back on the same page.
Okay. So Logan and Elizabeth grew close. They were comforting each other because Elizabeth's father died shortly after she got out of high school. So that makes me wonder if he died of a drug overdose or something, because he couldn't have been that old.
I wouldn't think. Yeah. Let's see. She's 18. She graduates high school.
Yeah.
So he could be anywhere from mid-30s to early 40s.
Where do you get that? He could have had her in his teens. He could have had her in his 50s. We don't know.
No, I'm thinking this was a guy who had kids early.
Well, we don't know that. Although we do know that her grandfather was still around. So he couldn't have been that old of a father.
Right.
Right. So he had to be under 50, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somewhere between.
So he didn't die of old age. Let's just say that.
No, it doesn't sound like he did.
No. But her father died, and Logan comforted her, and then Logan's mother died about a year later, and she was there for him when that happened. These were traumatic things, obviously.
Well, yeah, losing a parent.
Yeah. And their relationship was very off and on. So they'd be together. There was a lot of fighting, breaking up, getting back together, one of those kinds of relationships.
Those are always long-term relationships, aren't they?
They seem to be. It's like they just can't realize that you need to end it and move on because it's not getting better.
Nope.
I mean, but Elizabeth worked sporadically at the CVS, and Logan got a job working and training as an electrician, so that was good.
Yeah, that's a real trade.
Yep. Now, when Logan lost his job after a fight with his boss, though, the two moved to Arkansas. So Logan had issues, too. I told you that Logan had been arrested and served some time in jail.
Yeah.
He'd probably had a rough childhood as well. So he's having some troubles. He gets in a fight with his boss, and they move to Arkansas, where he was supposed to get a different job. So she went with him. And then while they're in Arkansas, little Gabriel was conceived.
Okay. They must have known people. He must have known he must have known somebody in Arkansas. You don't just pull up stakes from Arizona and move to Arkansas.
I don't know.
But
anyway. I don't know what made him choose to move there, so it would all be speculation on my part.
A job opportunity or something?
Perhaps. Maybe there was a warrant for his arrest and leaving the state was a good idea. That's another thing.
Yeah, but you don't have to go to Arkansas for that.
No.
If you're just trying to escape.
Well, I mean, Arkansas is a place like any other. Who knows?
They could have gone to Boston. They could have gone to Florida. They could have gone any place.
But, yes, they could.
So there must have been something that got them to Arkansas. That's all.
Yes, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was family or a job, but they moved to Arkansas together to start a new life there.
And they did.
It was the basic idea.
They started Gabriel's life there.
They did. And then they returned to Arizona, though, during her pregnancy, so they weren't there very long.
Doesn't sound like it. Just a few months, right?
Couldn't have been more than a few months,
right.
Yeah. So Elizabeth told her grandfather that she had considered terminating the pregnancy. But then after Gabriel was born, Elizabeth and Logan discussed the possibility of putting Gabriel up for adoption. But they decided together that they would raise him. So now they're back in Arizona. They're a couple trying to make it work.
And they have a baby.
And they have a baby in May of 2009 named Gabriel.
So, you know, in hindsight, given their upbringings, probably would have been a good idea to put him up for adoption.
Yes. Well, especially knowing what we know, yes, it would have. I think adoption is a great thing, and I think a lot of people have trouble doing it, but it is it's a gift to the child.
It is.
If you're willing to do that for your child and you realize your own limitations.
It's an emotional thing.
Sure.
And you've carried this baby, delivered the baby, naturally want to keep the baby.
Absolutely. And so, people who decide to give the baby to another family, I think it's a sacrifice for that child.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But it ultimately usually turns out to be in the best interest for the child.
Hopefully, yes. Now, that July, so Gabriel's just 2 months old, the relationship between Elizabeth and Logan was in real trouble.
Again.
Yeah. Now, in custody documents filed that December, Logan said that he had ended the relationship. According to Logan, in July, Elizabeth became enraged when he didn't come home from work on time, and she took a knife to his clothing, cutting it up, tore up the cushions of the couch with the knife, and even Gabriel's crib.
Now,
then,
that's
go ahead.
Really over the top.
Yes,
it?
Yes.
I mean, that's, sure, he doesn't come home. You're pissed off at him because he should be home. But holy cow, take a knife to things?
That just sounds like rage.
Oh, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, whatever happened to passive-aggressive just sitting there? And when he says, what's the matter? You say, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Everything's great.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me.
Right. No, but really, that's over-the-top rage. That's a huge sign of a troubled person.
That's definitely for
to
sure.
To act out like that.
Yeah.
And then she smashed dishes, and she took a frying pan and smashed the TV screen in. So this was big stuff.
Wow. So she trashed the whole place, pretty much.
Yes. And little Gabriel was in the apartment at the time, of course.
Yeah.
And then they were forced to move out of that apartment. They weren't allowed to stay there.
Wow, big
because
surprise.
Of the behavior, yeah.
Yeah.
So things are going downhill fast.
It would seem. But they've stayed together so far.
Yeah. It hasn't been very long. The baby's only 2 months old when this happens.
Right.
Now, Elizabeth was out of control again in September when she became angry with her brother over the phone. So she gets off the phone with her brother and she cut up Gabriel's clothes into pieces. Then she broke every window in the apartment. But now it's not just her possessions and her family possessions. She was smashing the property.
Yeah, well, she'd done that at the other apartment, too.
Well, she smashed the TV. She hadn't broken windows.
Right, but she beat the place up.
Yeah.
And this time she really vandalized their new apartment.
Broke every window. Can you imagine?
Nope.
I can't either.
And I can't imagine cutting up your child's clothes.
Yeah, I mean, why the child's clothes?
Why his clothes? Well, maybe there weren't any more clothes that belonged to Logan that she could cut up.
Yeah, but to me, the whole cutting up the baby clothes scares me because that shows that she's willing to take things out on the baby. Sure,
yes.
It was clothes, but it's in that direction of the child. It
no.
makes me nervous.
No, if I'm Logan, I'm very worried.
Yeah.
But he's probably oblivious.
I don't think he was oblivious. No.
No?
No. This was extreme stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
But he stayed with her.
He did. He stayed with her for a little while, not much longer.
Okay.
But Elizabeth ended up spending that night in jail. And then she had to go through a diversion kind of anger management program related to the criminal charges.
So she was in jail because the apartment manager called the cops, right?
I don't know if it was the manager, but somebody did, yeah.
Somebody representing the apartment complex.
Well, sure, if you
arrested.
Break all the windows.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's
I mean, I just also, if you're doing that, I imagine you're screaming and raging and
oh, sure.
You don't just silently walk around doing that stuff.
No, it must have been a show.
And there's this little baby sitting there. That makes me very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Logan has said that they tried to work things out. And around this time, Logan got a restraining order against Elizabeth as well.
Uh-oh. It sounds like the relationship's going downhill.
Yes. Now, we see that he had some legal trouble, but he doesn't seem to be the problem in the relationship as far as biting and things. It seems like it's more her. She's the one doing these violent acts.
As far as we know, right?
Right.
I mean, there's nothing...
There's no documentation of him doing anything like that.
No, he sounds like the bystander.
Yeah. Now, on December 8th, the couple fought again, and Elizabeth told Logan to leave. So he agreed to leave, and they broke up. And Logan put Gabriel to bed before he left and kissed him goodnight. So that was December 8th and of 2009, and he hasn't seen Gabriel since then.
So that's it.
That's it.
They're breaking up. He's leaving. He puts the baby to bed, kisses him, says, "See you tomorrow, fella," or something like that.
Right.
And never sees him again.
Never sees him again. Now, Elizabeth ran a Craigslist ad at that point, asking for a live-in nanny and offering free rent.
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll get to. There's some weird Craigslist ads that she runs. But she called Logan at work, and she told him that she wanted to relinquish her parental rights and his so that she could give Gabriel up for adoption, which might have been a sensible thing.
Might have been. I mean, they'd already discussed this previously.
Yes.
When she was pregnant, right? Or shortly after the delivery.
But yeah.
They talked about giving the baby up for adoption.
And decided against it.
And decided against it. So now she's revisiting that and saying, basically, maybe it's not such a bad idea.
Right. Well, I don't know if she was being that kind about it. She was just telling him to sign over the baby. She might have been doing it, you know, in an angry way. But Logan refused to do that. Okay. He's bonded with the baby now. It's his son.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that.
So what's his alternative? That she relinquishes the baby to him?
She wasn't willing to do that.
Okay.
No.
So this doesn't sound good.
No. Well, Elizabeth took Gabriel to the home of Jack and Tammy Smith. And Elizabeth had met Tammy at the airport over the summer, and Tammy had offered to adopt Gabriel from her at that point. So I'm not sure how the conversation began, but they met up in the airport, and Elizabeth had this beautiful baby. I mean, not that it matters, but this is a gorgeous baby. It's really a stunning baby.
Well, I'm of the opinion that almost all babies are gorgeous.
It's true, but he's very gorgeous.
Is he?
Yeah, really just a perfect-looking baby. Like the diaper commercial type. You know, big eyes, chubby cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this woman, Tammy Smith, had offered to adopt Gabriel. That was a few months ago. And then Elizabeth had gotten back in touch with her and wants to let her take the baby.
Even though Logan, the father of the baby, says, "I don't want to do that."
Right, and that's how they run into some trouble, because Tammy and Elizabeth are trying to kind of trick him and work their way around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Elizabeth then calls the police, saying that Logan has taken Gabriel and she doesn't know where he is. But Gabriel is found 6 hours later at the Smith's house. So she took Gabriel to the Smith's house. And then she tried to get Logan to sign over custody, and he wouldn't.
So she called the police.
So she called the police saying that Logan had taken Gabriel, and she didn't know where he was.
Whoa.
So I'm not sure what her motivation was there, other than getting Logan in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Was she trying to just let Gabriel stay with the Smiths? I don't know. But Gabriel was found 6 hours later that night at the Smith's home, and a Tempe detective who was there when they found Gabriel that night saw that they had drawn up some temporary guardianship papers for Gabriel. So these were done without Logan's consent, obviously.
Right. These were done by the Smiths and Elizabeth? Just,
I think,
like
so.
Like handwritten notes?
I don't know. Drawn up temporary guardianship. I think they actually had some legal documentation.
Yeah.
Now, Gabriel spent the next 8 days with Tammy and Jack Smith. So Elizabeth made a false report of kidnapping on December 9th, and when Gabriel was found at the Smith's house, the couple told police that they planned to adopt Gabriel. Then on December 11th, Logan went to the court and petitioned for full custody of Gabriel. On December 11th and 12th, Elizabeth posted ads on Craigslist. So first there was one to rent out her apartment for $400 a month, and then another one to get a full-time nanny to move in and get free rent for watching the baby. And then one to find new homes for her dogs. And then finally one on the 12th to give away free baby stuff. So can you make any sense of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, at least the last couple. It looks like she's planning on going somewhere.
Well, what about getting the nanny? So at that point, I think she was thinking she might still have the baby and possibly have a nanny come.
But she's getting rid of the dogs, or trying to get rid of the dogs.
Yep.
And giving away baby clothes.
Yeah.
So that sounds like she's heading out for other parts.
Sure, but it just shows to me like a big instability, because first renting out the apartment.
It's
like she hasn't made up her mind exactly what she's
totally
going to do.
Totally unstable.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because first she's going to rent out the apartment, then she's going to let someone move in and watch the baby, then she's going to...
Then the dogs are gone.
Get rid of the dogs. And then she's going to give away baby stuff, so then she's going to give away the baby.
Yeah.
So, just shows to me a really unstable person who doesn't know what she's doing.
No question.
Then on December 14th, Logan requested an order for emergency temporary custody of Gabriel. And in his complaint, he wrote that Elizabeth had hidden Gabriel at a friend's house until the police found the baby at 3:30 a.m. And Elizabeth petitioned for custody on the 14th as well, writing that there were two potential fathers, and she requested that both Logan and another man, Craig Cherry, take paternity tests. But Tammy Smith would later admit that Craig Cherry was her first cousin, and not an actual potential father to Gabriel.
No, and plus he was conceived while the couple was in Arkansas anyway, right?
Yeah.
Unless Craig Cherry was in Arkansas with him.
No, but why would she? Why are they doing this? I mean,
well,
of course she wasn't with Craig Cherry. It's this Tammy's cousin.
They're just fucking around with him, trying to mess with his head.
You think that's all? You'd go through the court just to mess with his head?
Yep.
I think they're trying to pull something over to get the baby away from him, clearly.
Well, that's the other part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on December 17th, the court orders that Logan is Gabriel's father, so they figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, Elizabeth picked up Gabriel from the Smiths and took him to his father. Now, Tammy would later tell police that Elizabeth told her she would meet them at a park later to hand Gabriel off to her.
So the Smiths are still expecting to be the adoptive parents of Gabriel?
Yes.
He's lived with them for a week?
Yep. But although Tammy's well aware that Logan does not want to sign off his parental rights.
Right.
So Logan again petitioned the court for full custody of Gabriel, and he told the court that Elizabeth would take Gabriel and hide if they didn't do this.
Well, he pretty much knew that one, didn't he?
Seemed to. And Gabriel was taken by Elizabeth on December 18th. She took him to San Antonio, Texas. She drove her grandfather's 1995 Oldsmobile, and they arrived on the 22nd, and they stayed in two motels in the area. So Gabriel was last seen on December 27th. Elizabeth left San Antonio by Greyhound bus without the baby with her, and she left her grandfather's car behind.
Why? Okay. I mean, I can see if she's given up the baby or killed the baby, certainly she's driving back on the Greyhound by herself. But why does she drive the car back?
I don't know, but I mean, that's the least of my worries here, is why she doesn't drive the car back.
That's just,
I mean, where's the baby?
It's not a big thing, but all of a sudden this baby's disappeared.
Yeah. So she left on the 18th, she gets there on the 22nd, stays at a couple hotels, and then Gabriel was last seen on the 27th, and then she leaves.
So we know that he arrived in Texas.
Yes, he was seen in Texas by a few different people with her. So she was supposed to appear for a custody hearing in Arizona Family Court on December 28th, but she never showed up for that. And a warrant for custodial interference was issued, and Elizabeth was arrested. She was at a youth hostel in Miami Beach, Florida, when they found her, and that was on December 30th.
She's done a lot of traveling, hasn't she?
Right, and Gabriel was not with her, so she's basically on the run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By herself.
Yep.
No baby.
No baby.
And had she already left these messages to the father, Logan?
Not sure what the date on that was.
Or they were coming, they were another time.
They were around that time. I think they may have been the 27th. Yeah, the 27th. It was on the 27th that Logan received the disturbing texts from Elizabeth. And that's when she told him that he would never see his son again. She said that she had killed him and he was in a trash bin. She also called him and told him that she had killed Gabriel and it was Logan's fault. Now, initially, I wanted to begin this episode with the phone call, but the audio is just so bad, I couldn't do it. Anytime I'd listen to it, I'd seen it on YouTube where they have the scrolling text underneath.
Yeah.
And you really just, the audio's poor.
It's inaudible.
It's really hard to understand, yeah. Which is too bad. If you're interested, you can certainly go on YouTube and hear it with the texts, with the, you know, with the subtitles. But it's disturbing the way that she says she suffocated him. It sounds like she really did it to me. She says she suffocated him, and when he turned blue, she put him in a diaper bag and put him in a trash bin. And she also blames it on Logan. You know, it's your fault. You ruined my life. You made me kill my baby.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not crying hysterically either. She's more angry. And when he asks her more about where Gabriel is, she gets angry. Is that all you care about is Gabriel? You don't want to talk to me? You don't? It's very... Now, that's really very Casey Anthony-ish. When she was in jail, It was all about, well, everyone's worried about Kaylee and not me.
Yeah.
So that's what that really reminded me of with that case.
This is similar.
Very similar. Very similar. So she would later, though, tell investigators that she had only said that to upset Logan. And she would claim that she had given Gabriel to a man and a childless woman whom she'd met in a San Antonio park. She considered it a closed adoption, she said. She said she had spent 3 days with the couple, but that she deliberately tried not to remember their last names or what their car looked like, so that she would not be able to take Gabriel back if she changed her mind afterwards. But she did say that the woman's first name was Cheryl, and she didn't remember the first name of the man.
Okay. So...
Do you find that at all believable?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's a couple of things. I think if you're going to kill the baby, like she said she did, you wouldn't take the baby to San Antonio. You'd kill him back in Arizona.
Well, I don't know. Not necessarily. She could have killed him in San Antonio.
I mean, just this whole story about we went to Texas and I gave him up to people I met in the park and they adopted him.
And that's really not much better than killing him.
It's just... far-fetched to believe.
But giving your child to strangers that you don't even know who they are, isn't that almost as bad as murdering your child? I mean, that's extreme neglect.
She spent 3 days with them.
Yeah, and deliberately didn't remember their last name. Yeah. I don't believe it at all.
I mean, that's just too far-fetched a story.
I don't believe it at all. I think it's crap.
But I'm still wondering if, not that I'm trying to excuse her, and maybe he is still alive. Maybe he was given up for adoption. But I just don't know if your plan is to kill the baby all along, why would you take him to Texas to kill him?
Well, I don't think it has to be your plan all along. I think if you're an unstable person, you're running away, you're giving away your dogs, you're hiring a nanny, you're going to Texas, you're killing your baby. I don't think it needs to be making a lot of sense.
Well, it doesn't need to make a lot of sense, but I mean, she told Logan, the father, initially that she suffocated him.
Yes.
And if that's the thought, if I'm going to kill this baby, I'm going to do it in Arizona.
I don't see why.
Well, I don't know. Why would you travel?
Because she's not stable.
Well, okay. But I'm trying to look for the...
Because disposing of him far away might be easier than in her own home.
Yeah. Maybe. I'd like
to... Are you saying you don't think that she killed him?
No, I think she killed him, but I would really like to think she gave him to somebody.
Okay, but even if she gave him to somebody, she doesn't know who these people are.
I know that.
He could be...
The baby would still
be in some awful pedophile situation. It's not a good thing, necessarily. He could have been killed by them.
No, I know that.
It's really not much better.
Well, we don't know.
The only thing better about it is there's a slim chance he could be alive and...
That's all I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think the baby's alive.
And I think if people took him, that it probably would have been found out by now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they know, supposedly, according to Elizabeth, they know where the baby was given up, and they know the first name of the woman. So they should be able to track down the couple, if there is a couple.
Yeah, there's no couple.
Right. but I still would love to think that the baby was alive, and he's maybe a happy 7-year-old now. I know.
It's just not likely.
You're going to say, come on.
It's just not likely. Sure, we all would like to think that, but the odds are very slim.
They sure are.
Now, at the time of his disappearance, Tammy and Jack Smith thought that they would be adopting Gabriel, but Logan refused to give up his parental rights. He felt that the Smiths were trying to coerce him into agreeing with the adoption, which seems accurate. Now, Tammy and Jack were considered persons of interest in Gabriel's disappearance because they were some of the last people to see him when he was in Arizona.
Right.
So that's reasonable.
And they were actively trying to adopt him.
Yes. Tammy was very actively trying to adopt him. Now, authorities thought the Smiths might be withholding information as to Gabriel's whereabouts. The Smiths supported Elizabeth, too, and they said that they believed Gabriel was safe and might be returned home if Logan agreed to sign over custody to them.
Oh, what kind of a statement is that? Holy cow.
I don't know. I think this Tammy person was delusional. I think she had baby fever or whatever they call it. She was kind of going nuts.
That's just such a stupid statement.
Yeah.
You know, we know that the baby would come back if only Logan was willing to sign him over to us. Holy cow.
Yeah. Well, I think this Tammy believed that Elizabeth was just trying to get Logan to do this. Because you have to you have to remember, Elizabeth's lying to her, too. She's playing both sides of this.
Yeah, she is.
She's not a dummy. Now, during the police investigation, it came out that Tammy Smith researched and attempted to help Elizabeth change court jurisdiction for the custody hearing for Gabriel. Tammy said she used her computer in order to find information on changing court jurisdiction. And during a police interview, she admitted to attempting to change the jurisdiction. She had called a relative to find housing for Elizabeth in Tennessee. And after Elizabeth fled Arizona with Gabriel, she had still been in contact with her. Now, Tammy had suggested that Elizabeth go to a shelter after she'd left. And on December 29th, there was a posting on Elizabeth's Facebook account that was found by Logan and then, of course, by others. And that was considered pretty disturbing. It said, "Kiss my ass, suckas." S-U-C-K-A-S.
Well, how else do you spell it?
And it said that her mood was adventurous. If you remember MySpace, I don't know if you do, you would put a mood, and hers was adventurous.
Okay.
Yep. So, Tammy wrote to Elizabeth on MySpace on the 29th also, telling her that she believed that Elizabeth would never hurt Gabriel, but that detectives have a recording of her telling Logan that she'd killed him, and that Elizabeth had sounded very scared and distraught. So Tammy wrote, "We are also distraught. We love Gabriel and you, and you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble if you don't come forward very, very soon. As we told you all this time, if you do the right thing, everything will work out for the good. The lead detective on this case really feels for you and wants to help you." And then she went on to give Elizabeth the detective's phone number.
Well, there's some good advice.
Yeah, but Elizabeth replied saying she would never come forward. She said that she and Gabriel were just fine. She had a new identity, a nanny, and a full-time job, and everything was going great.
Not likely.
No. And, of course, Elizabeth was found then on the 30th, which was the next day, and she didn't have Gabriel with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hasn't had Gabriel with her for a while.
No. That's right.
So the FBI got involved because people are crossing state lines.
Yes.
And when they interviewed Elizabeth, she was kind of vague with her description of the unknown couple she'd given Gabriel to. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the lady's first name, but I just remembered everything else about them.
Yeah.
So on January 9th, 2010, Elizabeth was extradited to Arizona and booked into the Tempe City Jail. Tammy Smith, meanwhile, provided a handwriting analysis, and admitted that she asked a friend if she could use the friend's husband's name on the paternity paperwork for Gabriel. Tammy sounds as bad as Elizabeth in some aspects.
I don't know if she's as bad, but yeah, she had an issue, and she was breaking the rules.
Tammy told the friend that if she could use her husband's name, then it would cause a problem for Logan. The friend refused. Well, Someone's thinking same.
Yeah, somebody with a...
In a January 14th interview, Tammy admitted to writing her cousin's name on the paternity document and admitted forging it.
She did.
She did. So in February of 2010, Tammy was arrested and charged with forgery, custodial interference, and conspiracy to commit custodial interference in Gabriel's case. According to the court documents that we found, Tammy had played a deceptive role in the investigation, making false statements to the media and the police.
Mm-hmm.
So she's blinded by being able to adopt this baby.
Well, that's my take on it. She just wants the baby so badly.
She's going to do whatever it takes to help Elizabeth in order to get the baby.
Right. And she might think it's for the best of the baby, but she really went overboard. And protecting Elizabeth was very unethical. Not to mention illegal.
And illegal.
Yeah. So she did get in trouble for that.
Mm-hmm.
And in May of 2012, she was convicted on those charges. And then in March 2010, the court granted full custody of Gabriel to Logan. So this is back. We're going back now.
Yeah.
So March 2010. So
probably
that's
at this point.
Like 4 months after he went missing.
Gabriel doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly. So Elizabeth was denied visitation or access to Gabriel. But this is, you know, totally a hollow victory because we don't know where Gabriel is, and chances are he's probably not even alive anymore. So Ken Gamble, a private investigator, was hired by Logan to find Gabriel. And an adoption expert stated that the Homegate Hotel, one of the San Antonio hotels where Elizabeth had stayed, is known in adoption circles. Adoption agencies put birth mothers in the hotel to meet adoptive parents and complete paperwork. In illegal or underground adoptions, the birth mother will usually bring the child to meet the adoptive parents in a public place. So the last known photos of Gabriel were taken with Elizabeth's cell phone in the Homegate Hotel. In several of them, he's seen holding a medicine bottle, possibly children's Tylenol, and he appears lethargic with his eyes half closed. So what happens to a baby if they have too much Tylenol? And I know that an overdose of acetaminophen causes liver failure.
Right. It's not, I mean, a mild overdose isn't going to do anything. It's not going to sedate you.
No.
And if you take enough of an overdose to cause liver damage, well, that will sedate you, but it will likely kill you.
Okay. What if it was there are other children's liquids, I'm sure, that like Benadryl, for example, that could make him very sleepy?
That could.
So I'm thinking about a woman who doesn't want to be bothered with the baby. Might mm-hmm. give him Benadryl or something like that.
If she knew.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she's smart enough.
Well, she's pretty smart. And I think those say cause drowsiness. I don't think you need to really know medicine. Those yeah. things over the counter, they say that they'll cause drowsiness.
You have to read a bunch of labels.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Okay.
You
I think it's a possibility.
Intentionally giving him something?
Well, yeah. I mean, the babysitter that was hired by Elizabeth while they were there. Now, the babysitter didn't know Gabriel had been kidnapped, but this babysitter stated that Elizabeth told her she'd given Gabriel some medicine and to give him more if he became fussy. Now, well, 7 months old, you don't really need to be given Tylenol.
Well, sure. People use that all the time for teething. So you're going to have teeth coming in and you're fussy.
Okay.
So Tylenol will work.
Okay.
But that's not going to sedate him.
No, and we don't know that he was sedated. He could have been sleepy.
He just looked that way.
But I'm just saying I wouldn't think that it would be out of her realm of morals or ethics or decision-making as a parent to sedate the child to keep him quiet. It wouldn't shock me that she would do something like that.
No, it probably wouldn't shock me either, although I think it's a little bit of a stretch for her to be doing enough research to figure out what medicine to give him that would sedate him.
Oh, I think you underestimate her.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's pretty common knowledge in the world that Benadryl makes kids sleepy.
Well, it is, if you're using it. I mean, if I'm prescribing it, I'm telling parents that it can sedate the baby.
Right.
But I don't know that it's common knowledge.
Okay, but if you have a computer and you say
yeah, I,
What medicines make babies sleep pretty easy.
If you Google sedating babies, you could probably find it.
I think you could find it pretty easily.
Okay.
Anyway, it's just a possibility. Now, during an interview while she was in jail in May 2010, Elizabeth again confessed to killing Gabriel. But her attorneys stated that she was taking medication at the time of the interview, and they moved to have it excluded as evidence because the attorney had not been at the interview either. So that was excluded, which is a shame.
Yeah, because this is the second time.
Third time. Yep.
I missed the second.
Well, she'd done it twice. She'd done it with texts and with calls with Logan.
Okay.
Yep, so this was the third one.
On different occasions.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Logan stated that Elizabeth had a violent temper, and I think we know that.
We've seen that or heard that.
Mm-hmm. In jail, Elizabeth was disruptive. She refused to eat, and she actually assaulted other inmates while she was there. And she was eventually moved to the jail's psychiatric unit. At her court appearances, when asked about Gabriel, she repeatedly invoked her Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. And in June 2010, she was ruled incompetent to stand trial, and she spent 3 months in court-ordered treatment and was found competent in September after being in treatment. So I was not able to get any of her psychiatric records. So we were just talking about, you know, with her history, with her life, what kind of issues could she have been dealing with, right? She could have, of course, had any number of genetically handed down mental illnesses.
She could be bipolar.
Right.
She could be schizophrenic. There's lots of diagnoses or possible diagnoses.
Right. But then there's diagnoses if you are in foster care and you never have any bond with parents or family.
Right. You're talking about attachment disorder.
Yes, right.
Which is, it is a recognized disorder, but it's a difficult one to arrive at for a diagnosis. Because there's too much overlap, there's a lot of overlap.
What do you mean?
Suppose you're developmentally delayed.
Okay.
Suppose you have other mental illnesses. Suppose you're just screwed up from foster care.
Well, let's just, for the sake of conversation, say she's just screwed up from foster care.
Okay.
Okay.
That may or may not lead to attachment disorder.
And could attachment disorder make her so uncaring about her child?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just the definition is that attachment disorder is a broad term intended to describe disorders of mood, behavior, and social relationships arising from a failure to form normal attachments to primary caregiving figures in early childhood. So if we distill that into plain English,
sure.
If she was in a series of foster homes and had mistreatment and just wasn't cared for, she could become an exhibit of attachment disorder. So the signs or the hallmarks of attachment disorder are a markedly disturbed and developmentally inappropriateness, social relatedness in most contexts. So it means you don't get along with people.
That sounds like her.
The disturbance is not accounted for solely by developmental issues. The onset is before age 5, so that fits too. There's a history of significant neglect. We don't know in Elizabeth's case. And there's a lack of an identifiable preferred attachment figure, which I think we could say.
I think that's pretty safe to think that's in her life, that she didn't have a figure to be attached to.
Right.
Right.
So that, I mean, the hallmark of that are all these little Eastern European adoption babies that have been raised in orphanages for years, and there's a high incidence of attachment disorder in those kids.
Yeah. Now, is it treatable?
It is treatable in a sense. There isn't any good treatment. So it's all like cognitive behavioral therapy to treat There isn't any medication that you can use. And there's variable degrees of success, but usually not so successful.
Well, it would seem they'd need a lot of unconditional love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which she didn't have.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't seem like she ever got that. She ever got to that point.
No, and even when she was with Logan, it doesn't sound like they had a good relationship.
No.
And he was, well, I don't want to say as messed up, but he had issues. And he wasn't ready to give her the unconditional love that she might have needed.
No. Or even the conditional love, for that matter.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Now, she went to trial in October 2012, and she was convicted of custodial interference and unlawful imprisonment, but the jury was unable to reach a verdict on the kidnapping charge. That surprises me. I don't understand that. Now, I wasn't in the courtroom, obviously, but she took the baby. She gave the baby away. Why? What's the problem with finding her guilty of kidnapping?
Yeah,
does that make any sense to you?
It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I mean,
and if you can't arrive at that, then why not charge her with murder?
Yeah, where's the baby?
Right.
Right?
So, I mean, the first two convictions are easy, in a sense.
Sure.
They're self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they weren't able to figure out that there was likely a homicide, then she kidnapped the baby.
Well, and she was offered to get out of trouble if she'd just say where he was, and she wouldn't.
Right.
And that's what convinces me that she probably killed him. I feel pretty sure that she killed him, or she would have broken down and said where he was, and then she wouldn't have had to go to prison.
No, I agree. I mean, yeah. The only thing that makes me think a little bit differently is that he ended up in Texas with her.
Yeah.
I know. And you're scoffing at me.
I'm not scoffing. I just don't think that makes any difference. She's not stable. She could have run off anywhere. It wouldn't faze me. It wouldn't change my mind about what she was doing.
No. But I think that there's enough circumstantial stuff, including her three confessions, that she killed him.
Yeah, what's with that? Those were confessions.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. I just kind of feel, and the skeptical person in me just feels like, if this was a guy, if this was some man, this wouldn't fly. How does she get to say, I killed the baby, she takes the baby, she won't say where the baby is, and she's not being accused of murder or even kidnapping? Well, she was accused of kidnapping, but she wasn't convicted on it.
Yeah, well, you're getting back to, I don't know why she wasn't convicted.
Well, I mean, does it have anything to do with her being a young, attractive woman, and also with this idea of how could a mother kill her own baby?
We're going back to Casey Anthony again.
Not really. I'm just saying it's a similar case in that way.
So
I think that if you're young, attractive woman, you're getting unfair treatment.
Your bias is that if she were a male, she would have been convicted, at least of kidnapping.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything but a young, attractive white woman.
That worked to her advantage.
Worked to her advantage, I think.
Possibly.
I mean,
you'd like to think that law is blind to that stuff, but there's plenty of instances where it doesn't turn out to be the case.
Well, we know how race affects people in the judicial system. It's not fair. And I think it goes the same way with man versus woman.
It does.
In these kind of cases, I mean, not to get too far off track, but look at the teachers who molested their students. And when it's an attractive woman, people are like, oh, that kid got lucky. But if it's a man molesting a high school girl, he's going to prison.
Right.
Sure. So there's definitely an unfairness there.
Oh, there is.
And I could see this as being part of it with her. She's very attractive.
But I don't see, you know, despite all this, I mean, she confessed and retracted her confessions, but she confessed.
Right.
And there's no sign of the baby.
Right.
So I don't know.
And she's the last one to have the baby.
I mean,
I think at the very least
you could get her for kidnapping. Because when she took the baby, she didn't have custody, right?
Right.
Logan had custody.
Well, I think there was a joint custody situation where she was supposed to go back to his father. So, yeah, when you don't bring the kid back, that's kidnapping.
Yep. So, how'd she get away with it? We don't know.
We don't know.
But she did.
She did, and I don't think that's right. I know that the law enforcement were trying to get her on murder. They certainly agree with us on that. They just don't have enough evidence, they say. And maybe they want to get evidence so that they, you know, with double jeopardy, they don't want to take her to court and lose.
Yeah,
they want
true.
To be able to assure a conviction.
I guess that's a good point, that if they don't charge her with murder, they still have that open.
Right.
And can do it. But they got to find a body, right?
They don't have to. I mean, if someone's missing... People have been convicted of murder without a body.
I know that, but after all these years...
Especially such a small child, you know, to be graphic, but it's a lot easier to hide an infant.
Well, of course.
Than an adult body.
But I think that there's not going to be any murder charge until they find a body.
Well, I don't think they're ever going to at this point.
So she's going to get away with it.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
And to me, it just clinches it that she... could have been free if she just said where he was. Well, she can't say where he is because she killed him. I just feel like that's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, she can't say...
Especially now, it's been 7 years.
She can't say, I gave him to these people and this is where they live. No.
And even if she'd given him away, she could have given a lot more detail if she really wanted to help find
him.
Of course,
she could have.
Right. Okay, well, she went on trial in October of 2012 and was convicted. And she was sentenced to a little over 5 years in prison, but she got credit for her time served, and she was released in July of 2014.
So she's a free woman.
Yeah, she's on probation, and then just in April of 2016, she was extradited from New Mexico back to Arizona after an arrest for several violations of the terms of her probation. So authorities said she failed to report contact with law enforcement to the New Mexico Probation Agency. She failed to get approval before moving out of state. She associated with a person with a criminal record, and she failed to notify probation officials when she got married in 2015.
Well, well, well.
So let's just hope she doesn't get pregnant. Now, Elizabeth's attorney, Mark Victor, he said that she would receive an initial appearance hearing within 24 hours of that arrest, and he wanted her to go right back on probation, of course.
Well, sure. He's her lawyer.
But Elizabeth was released again on probation after only 2 weeks in jail. Now, when Elizabeth's attorney asked if Elizabeth was able to shed any more light on what had happened, you know, because this is 2016, it's like, what, 6.5 years?
6+ years.
Yeah. He said, well, that's ridiculous. She has no more current information. Now, this lawyer, Mark Victor, I went to his website. Now, his main thing on his website for advertising and getting new clients is a video of his closing arguments in her trial, because it's quite a victory what she got away with him as her attorney.
For sure, I guess.
So much like Jose Baez in the Casey Anthony case, this is his claim to fame. Is getting her off on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a cloud of suspicion follows her, but she's not been charged with murder, and she wasn't convicted of kidnapping, and we still don't know where Gabriel is, and she has no intention of telling us where he is.
Well, there's no incentive, right?
I guess not. You think that a human being would have the incentive of caring,
But we've seen the absence of humanity in her for quite some time.
Right.
So it's not going to happen.
No. Well, they interviewed Logan in early 2016. He's remarried and has 2 children. Or not remarried, because he never married Elizabeth, but he's married and has 2 children. And he's told his children about Gabriel. He still has hope that Gabriel will come back someday. But he's not totally unrealistic. He knows that it's possible he won't be coming back.
It's probable he won't be coming back.
It certainly is. So it's a sad case. And it's an infuriating case. It's so frustrating that she can just say, no, I'm not saying, and go about her life. She's just having a life. And who would marry someone like this? I don't know. There are several ways to support True Crime Brewery. Before we sign off, let's just talk about them.
I love to hear this.
Give us a 5-star review. It's hugely appreciated. You know, we're really shooting for that iTunes 5-star rating, and we're right on the verge. So if you haven't done a 5-star review yet, and you are willing to do one, we appreciate it very much. Now, one thing about that, though, which we mentioned on the last episode, is we're going to move away from reading the 5-star reviews as we start having a feedback section at the end of each episode. So we're going to start having a feedback section at the end of our episodes, hopefully, if we get enough feedback, where what I'd like people to do is write in if you have any additional information, any additional
comments,
any theories. I really love theories of what's going on.
Things you think we've missed.
Yeah.
Or things you think we should have considered more.
Or questions you'd like us to find the answers to, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we can discuss them, because after we do an episode, we talk about a case and then we're done with it. But we know that there's always something afterwards that we probably missed, or that somebody knows something about that we didn't know. So if you want to just send in an email with any comments that you have, if you could call and leave a voicemail so we can just play your voicemail and then respond to you, that would be great too.
Yeah, we love the spoken word.
Yes. So I think what we'll do is we'll move towards just thanking individuals for their 5-star reviews, but not reading them. And then use the time that we save with that, with doing some feedback and discussing emails and voicemails about the cases. Because it's hard for me to keep reading compliments. Not that I don't love them, but it just seems kind of silly.
So, but what if you get the most beautiful 5-star review you've ever read?
Thank you so and so for the beautiful review, and it's between the listener and us.
Okay.
And anybody who's curious can go on iTunes and read it. It's right there. So that's where I'm headed. I think I'd rather talk about the cases and the feedback, stuff like that, than read compliments every time. That's a little painful when you have a certain degree of self-loathing you have to overcome to do that.
Okay. Well, maybe you should just let me read the 5-star reviews.
I think I like this idea better. Let's try it. If the feedback thing doesn't work, then we'll have you do 5-star reviews.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll make them up.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Also, we have Team Tie Grabber that you can join by pledging $2 a month or $3 a month or $5 a month. You'll also become eligible for the premium episodes that are coming out soon for Team Tie Grabber members only. So that's a great way to support us. We have our Amazon affiliate, so when you shop at Amazon, please go to tiegrabber.com/Amazon or go to tiegrabber.com and click on the little blue sentence that says Shop Amazon and Support Team Tiegrabber. It's the same shopping, it's just that we get a little bit of a kickback. And we also have our store now on the website, so if you feel like you need a little Team Tiegrabber stuff to get you, you know, between episodes to keep you going.
Yeah.
You can buy something there.
There's always some swag that people need, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to support us.
So I'm going to buy a few things. And all I have to do is go to the store on the Tie Grabber podcast site.
Yep.
Okay.
And also, if you keep recommending beers or crimes, we could also read those in our feedback section. Like if someone recommends a beer, we could talk about your experience with the beer and... The feedback section, I think, will be fun. I've got big plans for it. I'm ready to wrap it up. How about you?
I'm ready.
Okay. We'll see you at the quiet end.
We'll see you there. Share a beer with us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.